Are you ready? Are your pants on?
Just a couple of superstars hanging out in the men's room.
Oh. Hey, this is Tom.
That guy's attractive, Doug.
Remember that first time you robin-fed your boo? Warm meat and breath you chewing fill the air. The brisket sweats wash over you both, while that sticky sweet sauce binds your taut, rewarding bodies.
It make my ass chesty.
Love yourself. Love me. Love Salt and Smoke.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.
Yo, STL, let's win it.
Yep, it's happened.
All right, stop. Pay attention and listen. The Blues are back and they're on a mission. Stanley Cup is our team's quest. Now the rest can see why the Blues are the best. Can it be stopped? Oh, heck no. The Scott Trade Center roof is gonna blow. Stats need a scene, then a pass to Brower. All the other teams gonna feel the power. Fabry crosses the blue line. One timer from back is with a shot so fine. Shattenkirk, his hits don't miss. And Reeves sends him home with a good night's kiss. Love him, I hate him. The Blues keep skating. You can't keep us down. Hashtag Roar Bacon. If there was a shot, yo, Moose will block it. Light up the lamp with a terracycle rocket. Blues, Blues, baby.
Doug, you like it?
Well, I appreciate the effort, yeah. I'd rather have the song out there than not have it out there.
Have you seen the music video?
I've not.
Have you seen the music video of the cat?
I'm going to do it now. Where can I find it?
Morning After fan page, Facebook fan page.
I'm not on there.
I know. Use Doug's account. He's all over the place.
Yeah, not really.
Who's it by?
Channel 2.
Oh, it is. One of their guys.
Oh, so their anchors are in it? Is Martin in it?
Oh, were they dancing?
Somehow, yep.
Their anchors were dancing?
Yeah, well, I've never seen Cronkite do that.
I never saw Cronkite dance. I saw him cry when Kennedy got shot.
So it'll be on their website, right?
Probably so. Yeah.
Doug is ticked because they beat you to the punch.
So how are they dancing? Are they doing
well?
Are they? Are they? Who's singing it? Or talking it? It's not really
Doug?
Singing. You don't know. It's not the Channel 2 anchors that are singing.
Can I make a suggestion?
No.
If you don't mind. You should use the rap tune Informer by Snow and Counter and do your own blues song, except you're in the front with a big neck clock.
No, paying tribute to Flavor Flav, sir. Wow. Chuck D, Terminator X. Doug.
Yeah.
Charlie and Martin somehow were able to avoid that.
Oh, so they weren't in there.
They are not in there. The news folk are in there. Sandy Miller is smiling, holding a Let's Go Blues sign like, why am I doing this? And I support her for that. There was a lot of dancing.
By the anchors proper.
Right.
How were they dancing? What style of dancing? Were they break dancing or something? They weren't doing the Irish river dancing or anything?
Pointing at the camera.
Really?
Who oversold it, Tim? That's what I want to know. Call someone out for overselling it.
Dave Murray's in my craw right now.
I think this is on him.
Doug, the Blues losing last night 4-0, and we have a number of guests for our audience today to discuss the Stanley Cup playoffs, and in particular, Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Very disappointing Western Conference Final performance from the Blues from the perspective of the St. Louis area fans. The Gateway Sports Emporium is our presenting sponsor right now of John McClain of the NHL Network, and he is with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. John, good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
A little disappointed this morning. You know, we've seen the Blues play, 16 games, and that's really the first one where we kind of go, whoa, that was there wasn't really even much of a sweat, as I say in the poker world.
Well, you know what? I look at that one, you know, you probably have to throw that one out. I think it could be a little bit of a carryover. And, you know, you hear Hitchcock, and he wasn't happy with game one, but they got the win. Both these teams, you know, coming off game seven, so... There's going to be a little fatigue. There's going to be a little, and when fatigue sets in, you make a lot of mental mistakes. And I think that was the biggest thing for St. Louis last game. You got to give them credit; they played tremendous. But I don't think St. Louis was nearly as crisp as they needed to be.
Well, certainly San Jose got its power play on track, which has been so good in the playoffs, but not so in game one. Was that an adjustment they made, or was that just the Blues not playing as well on the PK?
Well, you know what? I think it's a combination of both. You know, when you have great players like San Jose does that have the familiarity with one another, and they've played together for so long with Pavelski and Thornton and Couture and Brent Burns, that they're going to get opportunities along with Patty Marleau. They're going to get opportunities. You know, the one Steen breaks a stick, the timing of it, you know, he makes a decision to go get the stick to the bench, probably the right decision. Puck bounces, and then leaves Brent Burns wide open for the one-timer. So, you know, it was funny. Like, the game one, Brian Elliott, I thought he was the best player for the Blues 5-on-5. He really didn't have to stop anything penalty killing wise, but then when you put in the special teams, you know, you usually look for your goalie, maybe one or two of those goals that he might want back. But, you know, he's been so good for them for so long, so you just kind of chalk it up that sometimes good players are going to make plays, and in the playoffs, you're tied 1-1, and both teams have been good on the road, so now they have to go to San Jose and try and get it to get their home ice advantage back as well.
I suppose that's the bottom line. You tied 1-1, but can a loss that ugly play on your confidence at all, make you wonder whether you're taking the right approach to beating a team?
I think only if you let it. I you know, having gone through playoffs before, the great thing about it is it doesn't matter. Like, a game like that, the sooner you throw that out, the sooner you let that go, the better off you're going to be. And I think that's something in this series. You know, you're playing, it's starting to get tighter. You're here for a reason, and San Jose's here for a reason. So you got to go, okay, well, you know what? Well, we got the win without our best game. They got the win without our best game. So you go, okay, well, now we have to play our game. If we can match them, play our game, I'm sure St. Louis felt it as well, that they were getting outnumbered everywhere on the ice. They were skating. They played their game plan to a T. And it just, the passes were off. Everything was just a little off for St. Louis. So I think the guys will look at it and go, you know what? Okay, we'll just have to move on from this as quickly as possible. And probably the good thing is that they are going on the road, and their road record has been so good. So I think it'll be a good thing for the Blues.
The Blues have been pretty good at taking a game that they didn't play that well and put it behind them quickly. Why? I know San Jose was, I think, the best road team in the NHL in the regular season. Blues were pretty good, but in the playoffs, the Blues are 5-2 on the road, 4-5 at home, and I know that's a trend around the NHL playoffs. Why is it easier for teams to play on the road as opposed to home?
Well, you guys, because it's the great fan support they get at home, everybody's into it. You guys are all into it. St. Louis is into it. So sometimes, you know, subconsciously in the back of your mind, you may want to try one more little thing instead of making the easy play or doing the right thing. It's always fun to be the hero, right? So everybody's into it. The fans are into it. So sometimes guys maybe try that one little extra. Instead of making the passes in front of them, they're making a pass that, you know, they're looking for the next play. When you get on the road, you simplify your game as much as possible. Especially after the emotional wins, you know, the emotional game seven, that the both game sevens that they have, and then to come right into the series and they have home ice. They're like, oh gosh, we get home ice. The support, from what I understand, is tremendous in St. Louis, around the city, everywhere. They're the talk of the town. So you can get caught up that a little bit. So to get one win, to lose one game, and the way they lost it, which wasn't their best, to go on the road, I think they can, you know, put it behind them, and they'll want to come home and play better after the next two on the road. I think they should be able to get a split out in San Jose.
We're talking with John McLean. You can watch John on NHL Tonight, before and after tomorrow's Blues game. NHL Tonight airs before and after every conference final game. Visit NHLNetwork.com for your local listings. John, you would think that as we get deeper in the playoffs, the intensity is just going to build every night. The players are going to come out with more jump than they had the night before. Clearly, we didn't see that last night. I suppose that's just the human element that you just can't ever predict.
Yeah, so you know, and then you saw, like, they're trying to generate this, and this is how some series goes. You know, San Jose's I don't want to say, they're non-confrontational team. They play the game. They play the game hard, but they don't, there's not a lot of pushing and shoving after the whistles. Is, you know, the intensity, we saw the intensity with St. Louis against Chicago and the hatred buildup, you know, so that's something that I think St. Louis thrives on. Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to engage. They're trying to get that engagement, the pushback, you know, to get the hate going, for, if you will, for one another. And San Jose is a tough team to do that against, so they have to kind of refocus and go, okay, we'll get back to the game plan, simplify the game. We have patience is going to be the key to this series. And I think in game one, Elliott played great, and the patience showed up a little bit more in St. Louis. You know, the first game, San Jose turned the puck over all kinds of times. Brett Burns turned the puck over. Then he came back. You know, they came back game two. They were a little more patient. And you saw St. Louis trying things, stretching. They weren't together coming up the ice. They were so spread out. They weren't supporting the puck. So I think patience is going to be the key for this, and not try and get the I don't think you're going to get into any pushing and shoving matches after the whistle. You see them all. They all skate away. And that's, you know, Pavelski's done a nice job, and they're all following his lead along with Joe Thornton.
And the Blues also obviously said they don't want to take bad penalties because of San Jose's power play. And we did see a couple of slashing penalties. Do you think frustration played a part last night?
Yeah, frustration. And as I mentioned, frustration and fatigue. And you're never, you know, and St. Louis is never going to say they were tired, but you just hit subconsciously just a little bit. And you kind of get a little bit lazy, or you get a little frustration. And when you're fresh and when you're going, frustration doesn't even enter into your mind, and I think that happened. The frustration got the better of them, and that's something that they can grasp onto for next game. That, hey, discipline, and patience, and that's what they're going to have to. It's going to be a methodical approach, and that's I think what Coach Hitchcock was trying to get across, that we have to play our game, and their game along with San Jose is 20 guys. The depth is even. The goaltending, two young guys that are, you know, in the situation for the first time, even. So that's what they're going to have to do, and it's going to be a test of wills who can be the more disciplined and patient team.
Well, we had somebody suggest the Blues need to put Ryan Reeves in for the next game, stir things up a little bit. But if the Sharks don't play that game, maybe that's not the way that the Blues ought to go.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because, you know, Ryan Reeves, you know, he adds a different element. He may get a piece of somebody. He may be the biggest guy. He may be able to get a piece of Brent Burns and physically, but he's going to have to go in and play the discipline game, because there's not many guys that are going to be barking up his tree to match him straight up physically. So if he can go in, and he's been effective before, and it's a weapon that Coach Hitchcock has used, and it may be a little bit tougher on the road to get the right matchup. So those guys play, their top two lines play a lot. Coach DeBoer might take advantage of that, and that may be something that he doesn't want to see.
John, last thing before we let you go, how do you see it going from here? How do you see the series shaking out?
Well, I thought at the start, because it's such a, you know, the San Jose St. Louis series, I thought it was going to be a homer series, but, you know, with the less than stellar effort that St. Louis put in last game, I think they're going to get a split here, and then I think it possibly could be a homer series, and then game seven, you know, it's always a toss-up, but I think it's a seven-game series.
Well, thank you for sharing your insight with us, John.
All right, I appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you, John.
See you. Thanks.
John McClain of the NHL Network and the 1995 Stanley Cup champion. And again, you can catch him on NHL Tonight before and after the Blues games. Visit Tonight airs before the conference finals. Visit NHLNetwork.com for your local listings.
He was very impressed with your line of questioning, particularly Ryan Reeves, which I hadn't heard anyone mention they want to see in there, except when once you said it, then everyone seemed to be jumping on.
We had a texter who said they need to bring Reeves in.
But I saw Twitter throughout the game was saying that also.
I didn't even really notice it. It might have been another run to the pretzels or the trail mix, that the Sharks don't do that pushing and shoving, you know, at the goal. Usually, every time someone gets a shot on your goalie, you got to go and you got to cross-check somebody in the back and you got to threaten to punch him out if they get close to your goalie. And the Sharks don't really get into that.
I think that's one of the things is they didn't want to. I mean, that is sort of the Blues stock and trade is trying to get you caught up in that kind of thing. They're obviously, the Blues are a very physical team, and I think the Sharks are just trying to stay away from that as best they can.
Then, as McLean said, nobody wants to bark up Reeves' tree.
I wouldn't.
Is he the toughest guy in the league right now?
I mean, Plaza, you know better than me. I just don't remember seeing Reeves lose a fight. I mean, I've seen ones where neither guy got the best. I don't remember seeing Reeves lose a fight. Have you?
He's like a bulldog. I mean, he's not necessarily – he's a big guy. But in comparison to the other quote-unquote enforcers in the league, he's a smaller stature guy, a little bit better skater. I think in this series, though, you can't be more physical than San Jose. You got to put Yaskin out there for just a little bit of skill. I understand why you want to put Reeves out there. Brett Burns is a different animal. You're not going to be able to wear him down and chip him away in a series like this. So I think you go more skill-oriented with Yaskin, but – like I said, I don't think you can go wrong with either one, and I would completely agree. You don't. Reeves can throw haymakers with the best of them.
Fousey, when you were playing junior A hockey in your years in the AHL, did you ever drop your mittens and put another palooka on your dance card?
I don't think I've skated in 20 years, so I'd have to disagree with your premise that I did play a little junior hockey. However, it's the best sport in the world, so I'll just end it at that.
You didn't play any hockey at all out there on the farm?
We didn't even have hockey clubs. I think Peoria was the closest rink. And even then, when you were in leagues, you would be driving to Chicago and Michigan. And so you basically slave away your weekends for hockey. So I decided not to do that.
Yeah.
You know, was Backus in his office much last night? Because I
don't say his office.
I saw him in front a couple of times, but it just seemed like a different operation last night. Didn't seem to have that much impact.
Couldn't get anything to click. Couldn't get a darn thing to click. He might have been in his office, but there were not a lot of people tapping. Yeah, I would have missed it based on my seat where I was, upper deck, second row. I had a guy in front of me's head actually blocked the goal nearest to where I was. Big, big old head.
That reminds me kind of baseball postseason, too. I remember in the Cardinal press box, they created a row for you that was behind a set of stairs.
Right. A little seat right there behind. I couldn't even see the field. I could not see the field.
But then the move is to go find a monitor and just watch the game. I've done that on the playoffs, in the playoffs on the road. If you can't see well enough, you find a monitor and you just watch it on the old television.
Could have stayed home and seen it better.
Well, you still have, you probably still have journalism to do, interviews and such.
Well, there's not a lot of them, no. Most of it's usually just mic holding. But it's still fun to be there, even if you've got lousy seats.
You're creating quite an advertisement for the Four Fox to give you a raise. That body of work. Trail mix and holding the mic.
Well, you know, someone has to do it. It's not a business that a lot of people are cut out for. Most people would like to accomplish a little bit more over the course of their day. But some of us who are gold bricks by nature are happy with just sitting there. Gold bricks.
What is that?
That's someone who just sits around and doesn't do much. Gold bricker. You never heard that term?
Mm-mm. Yeah. I've heard shutterbug, and you came up with one yesterday.
Shutter spook.
Buck Swope. Right. Buck Swope.
He's a bit of a shutter spook.
Man, he put pictures up from the free Dotem Open like nobody's business. He did. You and the Barnhart Brawler talking it over. It was like watching Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump having a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really want to compare myself to Donald Trump.
Fine.
Could we have a different conservative?
What about you and Bernie? Is that okay? You're Bernie. You and Bernie. You'll be Bernie.
And no, Barnhart Brawler's Trump.
No, thank you.
Is that easier?
No.
Tim, have you ever heard the phrase or the word shutter spook?
I hadn't up until then.
Have you heard shutter bug?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I just was putting in a request with the Plow Shark, and I didn't look at the Blues songs. Have you seen the new When the Blues Go Marching In video? Had you seen that?
Yes, with the kids in the playground.
Yes.
Yeah, they've been playing that every night since
I don't go to the games. I don't know this. Well, you got to go to the games.
See, there's some things I see that you don't at home.
Even though you're focused on this cashew table.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good little trail mix I got going.
It's so well done. I guess I've been playing it since the Blackhawks series. I was talking about it on the Twitter tweets and on the fan page.
They probably play it before the game. That's right. Why Doug is locked in. Once the game starts,
then he starts hitting.
They test it before the game. They do while I'm standing around waiting to do my live hits. They play it again during the game.
For those of you who have not heard it, we'll have that for you coming up. But it is our pleasure to welcome to the Ryan Kelly Morning After for their second straight day of appearances on the radio program, on their way back to Saskatoon after a day that I would imagine they will never forget. Ladies and gentlemen, Wyatt and Jerry Nelson, and my sources tell me that Wyatt has the phone right now. Wyatt, good morning.
Morning.
How'd it go last night, man?
It was pretty good. I think I did all right. I don't know.
You did great.
You did great. We played part of your call here. Okay, let's play part of his call so you can hear yourself. And for the audience who didn't get a chance to hear it, here is Wyatt calling part of the first period with Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase in last night's game two with the Sharks.
Sharks have it coming up. Sends it up to Thornton, who takes it in the skates, dumps it in again. Blues have it. There's a battle for it along the board. Thornton back to the defenseman, Paul Martin. Paul Martin goes D to D. Shot in front, kicked aside by the Blues. Back to Martin. Martin, slow shot to the on the net, saved by Elliott. Blues have it at the hash marks. Sent across the ice, tapped up. Paul Martin has it. Ooh, big hit.
David Backus lays a lick on Hurdle.
There's Kelly Chase on the call with you. What do you think as you listen to yourself, Wyatt?
I think it's pretty good. Yeah. All right. I've got a ways to go before I'm Doc Emrick, but
I think you carried Chase last night.
I do, too. I do, too. So after you get done, you get a phone call from Doc Emrick. What did he say to you?
He just, that was really cool. And he just kind of told me, you know, if you do, you know, do this and pursue this career, he said, hopefully you can come down and take my job, he said. And then he, you know, basically just told me when you're on here, be yourself and, you know, relax and, you know, that sort of thing. So that was pretty cool because I like him and kind of idolize him. So that was pretty cool.
How much nervousness was there for you when you started the broadcast? You're obviously going to a lot of people. It's Stanley Cup playoff hockey. What were the feelings that you had?
I was definitely nervous. I kind of got those nerves under control after about 5 minutes, but I was definitely nervous going in there. And, I had help from Kelly Chase and Chris Kerber, but I was definitely, definitely nervous.
Mm-hmm. And you got to do a lot of other fun things over the course of the day. I saw a picture with you with Martin Brodeur and Al MacInnis. What was it like meeting those two?
That was insane. You know, I've seen both of those players. You know, I got to watch Brodeur, and I got to, you know, see clips of Al MacInnis. But like, that was incredible. And I walked in, and I saw Martin Brodeur's face when he stood up, and I didn't put two and two together. And I recognized the face, but didn't put the name with it. And first, I thought he owned a hardware store back home, and then I realized it was Martin Brodeur. So it was pretty cool. It was amazing to meet both of those guys because, you know, those are both hockey heroes. So that was pretty cool.
And your goal yesterday, also in addition to meeting guys such as hockey heroes like MacInnis and Brodeur, were to meet Brian Elliott and Pietrangelo. Did you get a chance to meet those guys and other members of the Blues team, Wyatt?
I met both of them. I met David Backus. Chris Pronger came by. I met Brent Burns, the defenseman on the Sharks. Mm-hmm. I met, there was so many players I can't even remember.
Yeah, pretty cool. Now, unfortunately,
Stastny was there.
Stastny was there?
Well, no. Unfortunately, the game wasn't too good, but I would imagine that when it's all said and done for you and your family, that wasn't that big of a deal. What was the experience like overall?
It was insane. You know, it was 3-0, and the Blues fans were going nuts still. Like, it was great to watch playoff hockey and a playoff hockey game in another state, another country. It was great. You know, like, I can't believe it. It still hasn't quite registered.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool to hear. So when you get back up to Saskatchewan, are you going to be locked in on the Blues the rest of the way and pulling for the Blues?
Absolutely. Because my Leafs aren't in there, so I got to root for somebody. St. Louis has been too good to us, so.
That's awesome, Wyatt. Well, we want to talk to your dad as well, but it was a pleasure to meet you. You are a cool young 12-year-old, man, and you sounded great on the air last night. Congratulations on what has been an incredible couple of weeks and carrying yourself like a first-class gentleman, taking care of your dad and handling that broadcast last night like a veteran. Very impressive, sir. It was a pleasure to meet you, and well done.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Thank you, Wyatt. All right, there is Wyatt.
Okay, here's Dad.
And here comes Dad, Jerry Nelson, with us here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines as they make their way back to Saskatchewan. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
It's great to hear from you again, and it was so cool to see you and your family up there in the broadcast booth last night. What was that experience like for you watching your son call a Stanley Cup playoff game at 12 years old?
Well, it was absolutely amazing. And one of the headlines on somebody's phone, they read it, and it said 12-year-old broadcast NHL game. And I think the enormity of it then really hit home. You know, it's just like, holy cow. This started from just a small little hockey game of about 2,000 people in the preseason, and here we are, NHL playoff hockey. So, yeah, it was huge, and I think once we get back home and we're just kind of sitting here in the airport in Minneapolis having breakfast and we're kind of recapping the last couple of days, I think when we get home it'll really hit as to just how large an event this actually was for Wyatt and myself.
Yeah.
And his mom, too.
Yeah, the whole family was there. Mom was there, indeed. As well, and you were sitting right next to Wyatt in the KMOX broadcast booth with Chris Kerber as he was on the call, and you had the headphones in, and I heard Chase interacting with you, asking about a couple of players with Saskatchewan roots. What'd you think of your son's call of the action? We thought he sounded pretty good.
I thought he sounded really, really good as well, and you know, I think for any fan to have that kind of experience with two guys in the radio booth would be awesome enough. But then all of a sudden you realize your 12-year-old son is sitting there next to you doing your broadcast, and you think, like, holy cow. But, yeah, it was really amazing. We're so thankful for the opportunity. Kelly Chase, Chris Gerber, the entire Blues organization, the players after the game were so gracious with us. But, you know, what I really noticed hanging around in St. Louis was how friendly all the people are, and it's just a great place to visit. So we want to send a big shout-out to Kelly and Chris and the Blues and everybody in St. Louis for making us feel so welcome. We just had such a wonderful time. And, you know, go Blues the rest of the way, and we really hope they do well. Go all the way, but thanks to everybody in St. Louis. It was wonderful.
Well, I think you guys inspired everyone in St. Louis with your story. I'm just wondering, as a dad, Wyatt said he was a little nervous. Were you nervous for your son as he was about to start doing play-by-play of a Stanley Cup playoff game?
Well, I have to say I was a little bit, but, you know, Wyatt, when the pressure's on in the situation, he always seems to rise up and be able to handle it. And I knew that Chris and Kelly were going to be there for him. But as a dad, and I know Mom was certainly nervous for him, but as a dad, I was a little bit too, maybe not as much, thinking that you know, the guy side of things, oh, yeah, no problem. He'll pull it off. But, yeah, admittedly, I was a little bit nervous for him. But the first few minutes into it, I knew he was gonna be fine with it. And as I predicted to myself, too, the more he did, the longer he got into it, I think the better he got. So
he was great. He was great.
I think it turned out okay.
Yeah, he was great. He was great.
For right now, right at this moment, he's probably the most famous 12-year-old in North America. I don't know what's next, if Entertainment Tonight or TMZ or whatever. You think it'll be tough for him to settle back into his everyday life?
Well, I know he made the comment already this morning. He's looking forward to getting back to school and telling the boys all about it. But I think all of us are looking forward to getting home just letting this settle in for a day or two. But I think there's still lots of people that are going to want to talk to him yet, and that's okay. He'll handle it well, I'm sure. But, yeah, you're right. He's a pretty famous 12-year-old, without question.
Jerry Nelson's with us. He and his son Wyatt were in studio, and they were with the Blues and Kelly Chase throughout the day yesterday. And Wyatt was on the call of the first period of Game 2 with Chris Kerber. And Kelly Chase, so many moments yesterday, Jerry. And like you said, you guys will probably have to take a couple days to sit back and let it all sink in. But if there is one moment that stands out to you from this whole trip that perhaps, you know, we didn't get a chance to find out about, what would that moment be for you and your family?
Oh, you know, I think, it's really hard to put your finger on one moment. You know, Kelly Chase, when he was with us, just us with Kelly, he is such a gracious man. He is such a nice guy. And, you know, he would pull Wyatt aside from time to time, and he'd give him these little pointers here and there that Shannon and I just kind of thought, like, wow, what an awesome man to do this. Just really teaching him about, you know, not only what he was going to be doing later in the day, but just really how to treat the people and how to interact with people. I don't know. Like I said, it was just so hard to put your finger on one thing. And the people that we met and just the strangers that, you know, came up to us and said, welcome to St. Louis. Good luck tonight. You know, I think I would have to, it would be so tough to put a finger on one moment. It just, everything will, we'll be talking about this trip for a couple of days, I'm sure. And the 2 days worth, you know, there was an awful lot happened, jam-packed into about a day and a half.
Yeah, and then how about the fact that Wyatt gets done with the call and Chris Kerber sets it up so that he gets off the air, and there's Doc Emrick waiting for him to talk to him on the phone.
Well, that was absolutely insane. And what was even more ironic or coincidental, when they were playing the video on the big screen at the Scott Trade Center, and he was on the video talking about Doc Emrick, he was actually up in the booth talking to Doc Emrick live on the telephone. So they couldn't have synced that any better if they would have planned it. But, it was pretty cool.
And Wyatt has gone from wanting to be a firefighter to now considering getting into sports broadcasting. Is that correct?
Well, he has mentioned it a few times now. Knowing Wyatt and being that he's 12, I think there might be a few more changes along the way yet, but we'll see what happens. I tell you, with this boy, there is never a dull moment in the house. That is for sure. And wouldn't have it any other way. We love him to pieces. You know, he's a great kid, and we couldn't be more prouder.
But what has been the secret to raising such a cool kid while you deal with your own disability?
Well, you know what? I think the secret to dealing with him is not having to deal with him. He has just been such a great kid from day one. I know there was, a lot of help and influence from Grandma and Grandpa and from Shannon. he's had a wonderful mom, but, you know, with me and my blindness, I don't think he ever looked at it as having a dad that was blind. He just looked at it as this was dad, and if I have to find the remote control for dad or if I have to help, you know, dad navigate around a group of people and down a set of stairs, we just do it. And it went from that. He also is my guide. I play golf as well. Okay. And he just, you know, telling me that he wanted to do that and get into it. So it just any opportunity that we have to be together and things that we need to do to make that happen, he just steps up and he does it. And he's never asked twice about it, you know.
He strikes me as when I found out that he was 12, I was stunned just because he carries himself in such a mature manner. I truly thought he was like 15, you know, ballpark, and he didn't seem like overwhelmed by all of this, even though clearly he was enthused and described it as insane. Yeah. Anytime we would ask him, but he's just so cool that who knows, maybe he actually really can, you know, get into this and actually become a hockey play-by-play guy, Jerry.
Well, yeah, and you know, he's been like that for a while now, where Shannon and I just began to notice things and how he interacted with people, and he is a very humble person, and we always want to make sure that he stays that way. But you know, from an early age, he has been able to interact with people, and you know, he's excelled at his sports, his schoolwork. You know, he's been a leader at school, but at the same time, remaining very humble, and we've always tried to instill that in him and keep that in him that, you know, he is not bigger than anyone or anything out there. And, you know, he takes that and you know, he works with it in his life every day. And just the things that, you know, he comes home from school and he tells us about, or I should say the teachers tell us about, or, you know, his coaches, whether it's his baseball or his hockey, you know, he really, truly is an amazing kid. He's mature beyond his years, and we're not quite sure how that happened. We just, you know that it has, but like I said, you know, he is a great person, and we're very proud of him for that.
Well, I'm sure this story has made its way around North America and hockey fans all over the world based on the attention it's gotten even before you got to St. Louis. And I'm sure you guys are superstars back in Saskatchewan. But what has taken place here in St. Louis, people are absolutely fascinated and loving this story. And while you guys may have adopted the Blues as your team for the Stanley Cup playoffs, it sure seems like St. Louis has adopted you guys. So this has been an incredible 24 hours, I think, for Blues fans as well, to get to know you and your son and your family as they heard him on this show, read about him in the newspaper, and heard him on the air last night with Chris Kerber and Kelly Chase. And the manner with which he carries himself is a great credit to you and your wife, Jerry. First class across the board, and it was a pleasure to get to know you and have you guys on the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having us. And you know, I made a comment to somebody yesterday when we were talking to the media that Saskatoon at one time had tried to get the Blues. And I said, you know what, in hindsight and looking around today, so to speak, the Blues are right where they belong. And I'm really glad for the people of St. Louis that the Blues stayed put. And we're really happy to have been able to come down and be a part of Game 2 and spend the day the way we have. We're sorry that the outcome didn't turn out better for the Blues and their fans. But you know what? The Blues are resilient. They didn't get to where they are, you know, by giving up after one game sort of thing. So yeah, we're glad that we have definitely, you know, we're huge Blues fans. And I said to Wyatt, I said, you know what, these last couple of days, I said, buddy, we always will be. How can you not help be a Blues fan now? So you know, thanks to the Blues and to the people of St. Louis and to you guys, too. You've made us feel really, really welcome. And you know, we love St. Louis. It's our town now.
That's nice. Awesome to hear. Jerry, safe travels to you and your family. A pleasure. And thank you so much for your time. You've inspired a lot of people, you and your son. It's a great, great story.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate
it. Safe travels.
Thank you, Jerry. There he is. Jerry and Wyatt making their way back to Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, after 48 hours that they will certainly never forget. Awesome.
And such great people, too. I mean, they were here, and they did a lot of media. And what a wonderful kid, and what a wonderful dad. And the story is really inspirational. Think about it. The kid's doing play-by-play for Blades games, and somehow it gets out, you know, for his dad, because his dad is visually impaired. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, he's calling a Blues playoff game. Remarkable.
Mom was with him taking pictures and videos of the whole thing. That'll be quite a little thing to remember looking back. You know, 20, 30 years from now, they'll look back on that day and say, did that really happen?
Yeah, a lot of people get excited to come in the studio and meet us.
Well, not necessarily here. I meant the time that they spent.
No, that's what he meant.
Scott Trade.
I think, you know, that's what
Jerry
meant.
Here, they'll leave these pictures out and say, well, never mind. I don't know what that was.
Did you go get cashews again? Because, I mean, Jerry said coming into the studio and this palace was the number one thing.
He didn't say number one.
That's what I heard.
So we had a little bump in the road early, but then once we got to the Scott Trade Center, things really began to take off.
I heard a story that Wyatt got a little hungry after he did his stint, and he went to grab a little trail mix, and it was gone. The media had eaten the whole thing. Yeah.
Doug and Cal May.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised about that. I thought they would bring out some more trail mix.
Poor Wyatt. That was the only blemish in the whole trip.
Yeah, you could tell he wanted to say something. Mm-hmm. How about the fact that he's 12 years old? I didn't know, you know, you guys, well, your son's still young, but Doug, you might be able to guess a young tyke's age since you've raised three sons.
Yeah.
You know, but the way he carries himself, I'm just like, what, sixth grade? Is that what that is?
Yeah, for most, yeah.
I mean, just so impressive and just like so cool throughout the whole thing.
You know, sort of like an adult, like a young adult as opposed to a kid.
Guys, that Wyatt is 12 years of age. Holy jump, and he acts and sounds more like a 22-year-old, whereas the 22 to 32-year-olds that call in act and sound like 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
Continued success to Wyatt, also Jerry, and Mum, M-U-M.
That's what he called her.
Have done a terrific job raising Wyatt. God bless them. Safe travels. Don't get from the Bow Weevil of Bevo Mill.
You like the name Mum?
It's very UK.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's what they call his mom.
What do you call your wife? You have a pet name for your wife? Does that personally just give me a glaring look? Like I call Aaron E. That's my pet name for her.
No real pet name.
Call your wife E. See how it goes.
I'll call her E and see how that works. All
right. Tim, you call your wife E.
All right, I'll give it a run.
Call their wives E.
Text her right now and say, what up, E? See if she gets. See if she's.
See,
see.
That would make.
She's more of a podcaster. Emery's more of a podcaster. Doug.
Is she?
Yep. She's on the fan page.
What up, E? Say what up, E, to your wife.
You can say that to just about anybody, as opposed to word G.
No, I would never say that to someone. Word G. Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, you don't have the street cred to pull it off. What up, E? Word G.
That might fly in Sunset Hills, not where I live.
Not a lot of name calling in Sunset Hill.
Shocking news. A conference finals game's going on, and a twink named Doug is frolicking around a table of nuts. That comes from my shave, my balls.
I'm going to go ahead and suspend him.
Might be a tax of the day also.
For this, he's been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time for inappropriate wordage.
Guys, when I was 12, I discovered Playboy and my wiener. It's from Steve in Wildwood. He's having a big May.
Yeah. That's right about when most kids discover the opposite sex, I think. Right about then, about sixth grade.
A lot of our listeners don't seem like they have.
No, they're in same-sex relationships, or want to be.
With local sportscasters.
Yeah, which is odd. I find
it's a little odd.
I texted Anna Marie, what up, E? And then she said, huh? And then, you're an idiot. Sweet delay. So I guess from the time that we're talking about it, there's a delay out to the population proper.
Oh, so she is listening.
She's a loyal listener.
But it didn't really work.
I think Bernie's in a break.
It didn't really work when you said, what a bee.
Yeah, she said, huh?
I have to find another pet name.
Maybe thought I was talking to one of my side pieces.
Oh, boy.
He gave himself the bell like Al.
Yeah, like Big Al.
Big Al. Self-ringer.
Self-ringer. Boy, there's another worse than a self-ringer. Kelly Chase going to be with us. Looking forward to getting his take not only on the game, but the day he spent with Wyatt and Jerry here, not only in the studio, but, of course, down at the Scott Trade Center and throughout the course of the day. Doug, we have a new sponsor here on the program, another new sponsor.
Who be that? Kelly
Morning After, and that is Garrison's River Resort. Doug, now you and Carl Adam have talked about going on this float trip, right?
I'm not going on a float trip.
But you've talked about it.
He's talked about it. I'm not going.
Garrison's River Resort in Steelville is your summer getaway destination for rafting, canoeing, camping, and more. Campsites have electrical hookups, and you can camp out under the stars, rest comfortably in a ranch house, or sleep a large group in a bunkhouse. Don't feel like packing a bunch of food and supplies. The diner at Garrison's River Resort is open all day. You can check out the barbecue splash package and let them do the cooking for you. If you make your reservations at Garrison's 2 weeks in advance, you'll receive 20% off when mentioning CBS Sports Radio. Book online at garrisonscanoe.com. Garrisonscanoe.com or call 1-800-367-8945.
The ranch house or the bunkhouse sounds okay. I'm not sleeping in tents.
Why not, baby?
Those days are over for me. I don't want to wake up with a pit viper on my cheek or something.
Well, you zip
spiders
up,
you
zip it up. And
they can get in there anyway.
Get a little air mattress. You and Tim could cuddle.
Well, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm just saying that the ranch house. I'm fine doing the outdoor stuff if I have a place to go and kind of get away from the.
What if you had a Byerly? That would work,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
old Rosinante.
Oh, wow, yeah. Boy, we battled the winds of Kansas in that thing.
Boy, that's a fantasy of ours.
Doug, you can bunk in my butt. It's from Zambo.
Yeah,
the 9-year-old comparison is accurate.
Zambo has been suspended for his camping reference. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name is going into Ragazzi's handsome, leather-bound suspension log.
Guys, after Tim read my text, I felt like Wyatt when he got to meet Chris Pronger. Thanks, Steve Wildwood.
It's a big moment.
Did Anna Marie say an idiot, or did she say YOU apostrophe RE, an idiot? You know, public school and all. Let me take a look at the text. She did it properly, Doug. YOU apostrophe RE. Big day for Marquette, class of 2002.
What are the chances we can get a Byerly and then just go to San Jose as a group?
That wouldn't be bad.
How long would it take to drive that
40-hour trip?
8-hour?
I'm not sure Rosinante would make it through the Rockies.
Who would drive, Tim?
It would take
too
you,
much.
What? No, I'd be online playing in a Bovada $10 multi-table.
You think, 40 hours or so to drive that? It's about 14 to Denver.
Mm.
So I bet it's another 10 at least to the coast, at least.
Yeah. I'd ship you over on 10.
Yeah, so let's say three. 14. About a three-hour trip.
But can you imagine driving somewhere and it takes you like 30 hours to get there?
Plowsy would drive. I get him one of those little skipper caps.
Yeah, that would be good.
He would drive Rosinante while we frolic in the rear.
You do a lot of frolicking. You just denied frolicking. A texter said you frolicked. And now you're bringing up frolicking.
Well, if you're going to have a party, I guess, in Rosinante. Well,
I'm not going to frolic. I don't care if it's a beautiful
camper. You're just going to sit there stone-faced.
There's a difference between frolicking and sitting there stone-faced.
No,
I'll be somewhere in between.
Not really.
Oh, hey, Doug, look, I got you cashews. That's what I'd say.
All right.
You want some? Sure.
Sure. I'll help myself to a few of those.
Greg Purdy, Doug, he is the, Mark Purdy, I'm sorry, is the San Jose Mercury News sports columnist. And he writes the following.
What?
History was made here Tuesday night. Some of it had to do with the noise that escapes through the tangled poison ivy beard that surrounds Brent Burns' mouth.
Oh, boy.
The noise happens whenever he wants to shoot the puck, which is, as Burns admits, pretty much every waking minute of the day. I always call for the puck, even when I'm not open, the Sharks defenseman said. This time, though, Burns truly was open. He did give a little call, acknowledged teammate Joe Pavelski, explaining how he came to slide a perfect setup to Burns, who then blasted the first of his two mammoth power play goals against St. Louis Blues in an impressive and much-needed 4-0 victory. Not mentioned, Steen didn't have a stick, and he was wide open.
Steen left.
And he said there's poison ivy on his beard?
Yeah. That'd be an itchy shrub, wouldn't it?
Yeah. You guys allergic to poison ivy?
No, cats.
I'm not either. Cats?
What? You don't If you touch poison ivy, you won't.
I've never had it, no.
I've had it quite a few. It's bad. Bad.
I make it to Sex Lewis from Denver in 12 with small kids in the car. Step on the gas, old man. That's from the 303.
Well, you're driving 90 miles an hour through the plains of Kansas.
And they got 5-0 on them plains of Kansas.
What's that mean?
They're police over there?
I've never seen any.
Oh, man, and you can drive that whip as quick as you want.
I had a minivan going up over 90 miles an hour on the plains of Kansas once.
Bless.
And I looked around, and as far as I could see in any direction, not another human being. And I thought, you know what? There's not a whole lot of places you can go on Earth when there's more than 6 billion people on the planet where you can look as far in any direction and not see another person.
That Rams-Buccaneers game on Thursday night
was similar to that. All right.
I would get a camper with a microwave so I could make Jiffy Pop for you guys and serve that with the cashews.
It's a nice gesture.
Tim likes a little popcorn.
That is a nice gesture.
I don't. Anna Marie likes that popcorn. She likes that skinny pop. I don't know what
that. Don't do that.
My wife gets that.
Does she? I don't know what's going on with it, but she's always having that skinny
Supposedly
pop.
Supposedly that microwave popcorn is some of the worst stuff you could
But it's not microwave. It's in a bag, baby. It's in a bag.
And it's supposed to be really, really awful.
There's some kinds of popcorn you can get from that are have all the junk out of it, and it's just popped corn.
All right. Well, you tell yourself that.
Me and my friends are driving to Vegas this summer. I think it takes around 30 hours. That's from Giamatti.
Oh, God. Can't you fly for the same cost as driving at that point?
Getting there,
fill up the car
getting there
five
is half,
times?
Getting there is half the fun.
It Clark isn't. W. Griswold, sir. It 1983.
You know that.
If you fill up your car five times, you're well over $200. You can get a
Well, I'm not the one doing it.
Boy, you're a skinflint.
And that's just one way.
This is Giamatti.
That's one way. You're going to spend another $200 to get back, plus all the meals you got to eat between here and there, the wear and tear in your car.
Now you can get in and out when you get to Vegas.
Yeah.
Double.
I mean, at some point, it doesn't make sense to drive.
You ever get that animal style or whatever they call it, in and out?
I got animal style fries, and I had no idea, because the fries are terrible there. They might be the worst fries of any place in the world.
No fooling.
Yeah, and I know that sounds like a Mike and Mike hot take.
Ever eaten at the Varsity in Atlanta?
No, I've driven
it's
by
the worst
it.
Food I've ever had in my life.
But never eaten there. But yeah, the In-N-Out fries are just horrible. And so somebody said, get them animal style. And then they just put a, I mean, my God, they load it up. At
What's
that
animal style exactly?
Well, the burger is like, it's mustard and then re-cooked or something like that. I haven't gotten the burger animal style. But the fries are just horrible. Horrible.
Not much yield?
Just bad. What a shame for such a great burger to have such bad fries. I wonder if that's a calculation on their part. Hey, people are coming for the burgers, not the fries. We'll just throw these things in there, cut costs, increase the margin. That's the move.
Seems like an easy thing to fix, though, if you don't have good fries. How hard is it to get a decent fry? Well, I can see that you're disappointed.
Yeah, I am.
So what's animal style on the fries? What is that?
God, I can't remember. Plow sharp,
animal
you know?
Shapes?
They do something with the burgers, like they put spices.
I just remember there was a
mustard
bunch of crap on there. Holy moly. I'm like, this is gross. God, it looks like the vomit comet happened on it.
Oh,
here, Doug,
geez.
Take a look. Take a look. There it is. See?
Oh, God, that looks hideous.
Thousand Island spread, mustard grilled patty, and an extra pickles.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's the burger. The fries, I pulled that up.
Looked like that had some Thousand Island on there, too.
Yeah. God almighty.
Looks like the fries have cheese, spread, and grilled onions on them, by chance?
Spread. Secret spread. Mm. Yeah, Doug. Cheese, secret spread, and grilled onions piled high on your fries. Holy moly.
No.
God,
no.
The burger is already the most highest calories of any burger in fast food. And then you add that in. I mean, I realize you're not monitoring your health when you shoot by the In-N-Out. But
probably not.
If you want to have a cheat day, holy moly, the fries. Doug, MapQuest, 23 hours to Las Vegas. Thanks for the 314.
Too much.
Doug, you got to get those fries well done. Tell them crispy on the outside and soft and pillowy on the inside.
Sure.
Tell the drive-thru guy that.
Right. They'll go back and make the fries over again just to your specifications. That happens all the time.
We got a break. We'll come back with Kelly Chase, brought to you by GFI Digital. It's next.